Welcome to Podcast Deluxe, your Gucci goggles, Gucci buckles, Gucci skis of weekly cultural review. I'm John Caramonica, a critic at the New York Times.
I'm Joe Coscarelli. I'm a reporter at the New York Times.
Before we go any further this week, I do want to say, please follow us on TikTok.
Ironically.
We're at Podcast Deluxe. I'm not saying we're here to save TikTok, but we are on TikTok. Please follow us on TikTok, subscribe here, youtube.com/podcast. I open with that because this is going to be a single issue episode.
Okay.
I wrote a piece, feels like a long time ago now. It was maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago.
In newspaper years, it's forever.
Yeah. Essentially saying, is TikTok over? Are we at the end of the infinite scroll? And I have a few different reasons I've been popping around in my head and obstacles I've been encountering on the app, but I just kind of wanted to get it all out. It's on the cover of Arts and Leisure that came out this past Sunday. Here's the cover. But I wrote it maybe 4 weeks ago, but I've been thinking about it for months. And there are a number of factors. And I think on this episode, we are just going to really break down where TikTok's been, its highs, its lows, why it's coming to kind of like a fallow period right now. As you know, I spend an unhealthy, disproportionate, traumatic amount of time on TikTok.
Yeah, let's like really talk about our respective TikTok diets because I think they couldn't be more different.
Why don't you start? Ease the people in.
So I can't remember if I made this decision consciously. I think I sort of did. Pre-TikTok, when it was still Musical.ly,
yes,
I decided I was done with social networks. No more social networks.
No new posting, no new reading.
I've been on every social network, basically, from LiveJournal, Zanga, MySpace, through...
You had a Zanga?
I had a Zanga, like, early on.
Extant?
Just, oh yeah. Like, I don't think I ever really used it, but I think there was a moment when you were like
Zanga lurker.
It was like, no, this is, I'm going to take the kids back. Yeah. LiveJournal was invite only.
Okay.
And so it was like, are you going to be a Zanga person? Or are you going to be a LiveJournal person?
Sure. Right.
And LiveJournals were hard to come by. My first LiveJournal was passed on to me, bequeathed to me. Like, wow. It wasn't my username. Oh, it had been someone else's.
Someone squatted on a handle and
they
gave it
used
to you.
It. Right, and then they got a new one. Like, they got a new invite. So
Did you pay for it?
No, but it was like a stranger. Like, I don't even remember the haggling that took place on the message boards or whatever it was. Okay. Anyway, all the way up through Instagram.
Snap?
I didn't take. Like, this is, and this is why I think I was like, Instagram is the last social network that I'm going to be like native to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And since then, the rise of TikTok, I've experienced a lot of TikTok. Like, I think I get TikTok to some extent, but I receive it secondhand. I receive TikToks on Instagram stories where people curate them. Mm-hmm. I receive a lot of TikToks these days on the new Twitter For You page, which is more heavily tilted towards video. And
I'll never forget
like
the day you texted me, Twitter's good again.
I mean,
I know.
I stand by this, like, say what you will. I'll leave it to our colleagues to talk about Elon Musk and what he's done both to the business and the culture of Twitter. Mm-hmm. But from my experience, my For You page,
Twitter For You is
my effective. For You page is very well.
If you're not getting invective.
Yeah. Mine is very well. Algorithm
it's dialed in.
Yes. It's dialed into my brain.
Yeah.
So I get TikToks that way. People send me TikToks. I look at them. You know, I have a mediated experience.
And also for work. Like, you are mindful of it.
But I don't scroll on TikTok. I don't open the TikTok app and interact. I don't follow people. I don't look at my For You. I just don't spend a lot of time on it with my own personal time. And I think you're different.
When I am old, and I look back on how I spent these 5 years of my life.
Like pandemic right before the pandemic.
Through deluxe.
Yeah.
through early deluxe.
Right.
I will regret the amount of time I spent on TikTok, which tells you, I mean, it tells you something about me. It tells you something about how effective the app is. It reminds me a lot of something that I thought about stream music streaming in the early years of music streaming, which is just, obviously it's designed to keep you in Spotify or whatever, but like at a certain point, music was getting made specifically with that in mind. Sure. Like, how do we make a song that's moody and sticky enough that it makes you not want to leave?
Yeah.
It doesn't like alert you too much. Doesn't make you too alert, but makes you not want to leave. Obviously I joined TikTok to observe, and I joined TikTok to understand why things were going viral. I actually was not on like right when Musical.ly became TikTok or when they merged, I wasn't really on. I was on Musical.ly a little bit, but I at that point I had kind of tapped out. I wasn't really into lip syncing. I didn't really see the value add.
Yeah.
So I missed like even into like the early Old Town Road moment. I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the Old Town Road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I got the horses. I wasn't playing in it.
Would you say that was the moment where you're like, I got to get involved here?
I think it was around then, but I was even at that point seeing it primarily as a music exchange and sure. a dance app, which it largely was.
Sure.
I came across a TikTok recently that showed the most followed people on TikTok, like maybe every month. Mm-hmm. And it was a chart and it was growing, you know, like it was a
live, like those live things chart. That get made. Yeah. Yeah. And see like the bars moving
exactly.
And the people falling off.
We'll play it. Yeah, we'll play it's it. Great. And the person who was the most followed, I didn't know who that was.
Right.
Baby Ariel, who like when I went back and looked, I was like, okay, I know who this is. But like it didn't immediately trigger for me. I came in around Old Town Road, the D'Amelios, Addison Rae, Hype House, etc.
As a critic, primarily.
Yeah. And I came to appreciate, I mean, it's not like there was a lot of content or thought, not a lot of narrative, but I came to appreciate that they were achieving something. And frankly, after Vine, short form content, it also did the rise of TikTok really was happening at the same time as Quibi. Mm-hmm. And Quibi spent like $1 zillion to try to make what TikTok was doing for free, basically. Sure. But I got hooked and I've been hooked, and I probably spend, I mean, on a good day, which is to say little, I probably spend an hour on TikTok. On a bad day, it could be 3.
Wow.
And maybe I'll have the television on in the background.
Sure. It's a second or third screen experience.
Yeah. Or it's the first and the TV is the second screen, to be honest. I consume a lot. And I consume almost exclusively through scroll. I'm not really playing with hashtags unless I'm explicitly researching something. Or I'm like, I've never seen a video of this kind. What's it a part of? I'm scrolling and something in my brain, and I'm sure the neuroscientists at TikTok know this, something in my brain is telling me that the next thing is going to be the thing that satiates me.
Sure.
Over and over again. It's as close as I have to like, you know, like functional addiction in any real way.
More than IG, more than Twitter.
Yes.
See, I think I'm primarily a text-based app person, mm-hmm. and always have been. So like even the way I interact with Instagram is like primarily through stories, which can tend to be text-based. You know, it's like mm-hmm. this other thing. I never scroll social media with my volume on ever.
Oh,
so that's so why TikTok it out would just you. Never yeah, work sure. for me.
So it's just like a UMG TikTok account.
Yeah, no exactly. Sound. Yeah, no music. So I think that was my initial hurdle with the app is like it's made to be scrolled through with the volume on, and that cacophony just doesn't sit with me.
So even IG stories, you know.
Even IG stories on mute.
Wow. Okay.
And every now and then I'll turn my volume up if I have to hear something.
Sure.
But almost never.
Okay. That's fair. Because I spend so much time on TikTok, I've been able to obviously identify or tap in with things relatively early. There's so many like micro movements happening on TikTok at any given time that like you could be early on one and totally miss another.
Sure.
Like I'm sure I've missed hundreds of things, but like
millions even.
Probably.
Yeah.
But like, and also like when you start thinking about non-English language TikTok, you know, South American, various European countries, African, like, you know, there's
Asian,
Middle Eastern, yeah. like there's a zillion versions of TikTok.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm okay at reading tea leaves. And I've written at times about different scenes or moments or characters on TikTok. And something happened where I just was like, I felt myself scrolling and I felt dead. Like I am a fairly active viewer. Like, yes, there might be multiple screens on, but I'm engaging, I'm absorbing I'm thinking hard about, did this TikTok make sense with something I saw 2 days ago or 5 days ago? I'm going through my favorites. To be
You're
like,
trying to map it out. Because that's what you do.
It's what I do. It's my job. Right. And it's how I view the world outside of work as well. I was like, I feel dead. And I was like, what's happening here? And there were a few things happening at the same time. And I think we should break down kind of like the big categories and then we can kind of go deeper into them. One is that being endlessly served things that are only to your taste eventually becomes soul deadening. On the one hand,
for some earlier than others.
Yeah. No, yeah. Right. On the one hand, I'm like, damn, you really get me.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes I'll get a TikTok from someone with like 14 followers with no views or like one like, and I'm like, this is like, how do you know that this is the perfect TikTok for me to see? This is a character and that person goes on to become like a recurring.
And I increasingly feel that way with my For You page on Twitter.
Sure.
On X.
Yeah.
I'm going to still call it Twitter.
It's fine.
It's X. Twitter.
Whatever.
It's Twitter.
Yeah. So at a certain point, there's diminishing returns. I have in my life, I'm a curious person, but maybe I only have so many interests.
Sure.
You've
seen it.
I've seen all the fashion stuff. I've seen all the Italian design stuff. I've seen all the like post rage stuff. Like I've just seen a lot of it. It's unlikely I'm going to see a thing that radically makes me reevaluate any of those spaces. I may see a new person, but basically I'm seeing the same things. The shopping. So TikTok Shop opened in September, I believe. And what that did is it turned almost every single person into like a QVC spokesperson.
And I think that this is a very important point because as soon as an app starts to feel like it's selling you things, like it's always selling you things, it's selling you itself.
And also you are the,
and you're
being sold.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
But as soon as you can feel that and
it's bad.
Tilts into that, only that, like something about Vine that I think is so special and the reason why it's remembered the way that it is because nobody ever really figured out how to sell you anything on Vine. And the fact that this short form video created a new language and then disappeared before it could be corrupted. Totally corporatized and corrupted. And Tumblr to some extent too, like early generations of Tumblr, I feel like, you know, it's passed corporate hands a lot at this point, but nobody ever really figured out how to make money off of Tumblr. And that's part of the reason.
Except the guy who sold Tumblr.
Right. And that's part of the reason these things aren't like with us anymore or aren't in the same way. Mm-hmm. But TikTok got figured out.
Fast. And even I would say Instagram never totally figured it out.
Or they're still working on it.
The shopping experience on Instagram is like so placid and hands off. You're like, I don't want to participate in this. And you don't have to participate in it. The thing about TikTok is because the nature of it is algorithmic scroll, you are being served actual ads. Mm-hmm. You're being served sponsored posts, like some clothing company sent an influencer a pair of jeans and they're making a post and saying spawn. And now you're being served people who are like trying to sell you something in the TikTok shop. And the TikTok shop is full of all kinds of products now, it more and more every day. You don't have to be you don't have to sell your product. Like if you like this microphone and the microphone's in the TikTok shop, you can make a video, sell it, put it with a link. And if someone buys it off your video, you get $3,
$5. It's like an affiliate link.
It's an affiliate
and you get a
exactly
percentage.
And now we're actually at the point where people are selling courses on how to become TikTok affiliates. That's something that's really been happening about the 3 to 4 weeks since my article came
and
out.
That's a genre of TikTok in
genre
and of itself.
A TikTok video, which we'll talk about. Look, I like being sold to. I like buying things.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was very pure up until like a week ago. I never bought anything off TikTok shop. Most of the things are like easily demonstrable products. Like there's one that's like a wireless tire inflator.
Sure, infomercial type stuff.
Exactly. Like stuff where you like
modern day infomercial.
A 20-second thing where you're like, oh damn, my tire slapped. Oh, there it is. $19 in the TikTok shop. Whatever. I bought because I've been looking into rings recently and someone was selling a plastic ring measurer, like a ring sizer.
Sure.
for like 50 cents.
You can use a piece of string and a ruler, you know.
Well, they got my money. They fleeced me. I've never tried that.
I mean, it's rougher, worth, maybe.
Worth noting. Fair. So I bought that for 50 cents or 60 cents.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my first TikTok shop purchase. But I have mostly resisted it on principle. I don't wish to be advertised to this aggressively. I also don't wish to be advertised to this repeatedly.
Right.
And we're really at the point where on a bad day, 50% of my feed is some kind of sales pitch, whether it's an ad, a sponsored post, or an affiliate post. That's not tenable. That's really, really rough. On a good day, I can go for 20 or 30 videos without catching one, but more days are bad than good. So that's another reason. And another reason is, look, you can argue about whether TikTok is a genuine organic music discovery vehicle. Right. I think it's no longer that, but maybe it was for a time in 2019, 2020, 2021 even. Obviously, the system's been gamed. If there's people at record labels whose job it is to pay TikTok dancers and clean talk people to use sounds in the background, it's just like well established that if you're hearing a trending sound, a music sound on TikTok, someone might be paying for that.
And I think that that's another key point, which is like, if you're constantly wondering, is this real or is this astroturfed, mm-hmm. while you're using social media, like so much of the promise of TikTok was that things could go viral that were totally unexpected. And when you have the wool pulled from your eyes, you know, and you realize that it's possible to fake this, it depends like how often you're wondering that, you know? And I think like it's been really hard musically for a long time,
yeah.
to say like, did this song really come out of nowhere, or was somebody pulling strings, yes. in the background? And it seems like more and more you have to wonder that because of the way these things have been monetized.
And also, frankly, just the way that music moves through TikTok, which is in bits and bytes, dare I say, it almost doesn't matter if a song is good or bad to go viral. It really only matters, does an influential person put it on a video and then other people pick up on it? There used to be, dare I say, like a closer correlation between something unexpected becoming viral and you'd be like, damn, that's actually really good. I wouldn't have found it any other way. And now you're just kind of like, who paid for this?
Yeah. Talk to me about what TikTok was like when it worked for you. Like what do you think of as like the glory days of TikTok, and like what was it giving you that you weren't getting elsewhere on the internet? Cause when I'm on TikTok recently, I'm just like, I'd much rather be on YouTube. Like and subscribe podcast.
Like, yes, definitely. And also on TikTok.
yeah. But on YouTube.
Yeah. TikTok circa, you know, D'Amelio era, Hype House era, that was the Disney Channel to me. You know, like I wrote a lot about the Disney Channel in like the Demi and Miley era, Jonas Brothers, Camp Rock.
So it was like a star-making platform.
Very much to me. And also I really liked, oftentimes in the early phases of any new platform, you see people trying in real time to figure out what is the optimal content form.
Yeah.
And seeing that, and I'm not even sure now that there is an optimal TikTok content form. I think that's maybe part of the problem, is it hasn't totally been solved for TikTok 3.0 or 4.0. But watching people in real time trying to figure it out. Also, I really, really liked the randomness of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the randomness does feel squeezed out a little bit right now, but I really liked the randomness. Like at the end, we're going to both talk about a song that we really like. Like that's basically an old TikTok song.
Sure.
Or at least in my case, it's an old one. And it's a song by someone who I cannot imagine what the pathway to ubiquity would have been except for a viral snippet on TikTok. And the fact that I could open the app and be utterly surprised, that's what TikTok was good at. Now I am almost never surprised. And that's what TikTok is struggling with.
How much of this is personal and how much of this is
systemic?
The app itself.
I think it's systemic.
You think your heart is still open to loving TikTok?
I mean, I think that I still look at it an hour a day in anticipation that it might provide some version of that thrill. But the things that, like, for example, Pookie and Jet.
Okay, let's talk about Pookie and Jet.
Pookie and Jet, they are a couple from the South. Jet, I believe, is in private equity, if I'm not mistaken. you know, they are Southern aristocrats, I would.
Though they met in Philly?
They met in Philly, and what's up with that? Maybe she was a flight attendant?
Yeah, she was a flight attendant.
Yeah. So he's a Southern, I don't know. They are playing the role of Southern aristocrats. Pookie Campbell is his wife. She does outfit videos, and Jet, Gamely plays the role of saying how beautiful his wife is.
Going to dinner at the hotel tonight, and damn, my snow bunny Pookie is looking absolutely fire. Babe, the all black with a touch of pink is a knockout.
Yeah. Which, like, you should do if you have a wife or a partner. Tell them how beautiful.
Doesn't have to be on video for public consumption.
It doesn't have to be, but in whenever you can.
Yeah, he's the ultimate wife guy.
Which is great. And that's been a legitimate, like, in the last 6 weeks, 4 weeks even, they've kind of skyrocketed.
They took over the world.
Yeah, like, they've skyrocketed from,
got half milkshake ducked.
They survived it. They survived it. You know, and then they were at the Tory Burch fashion show and a bunch of, like, they're living a great life. They're going to Aspen. Sylvester Stallone is ripping off their TikToks, and then they're stitching Sylvester Stallone and being like, we love you and rock. Like, it's, they're doing great.
Friday night, date night.
Taking Pookie to a new spot tonight with three other couples, and Pookie looks absolutely amazing.
We're going to know about Pookie and Jet at least for 6 more months, maybe longer.
Okay.
We'll see.
Generous.
Yeah, I think so. So things like that happen where you're like, why them? How did this happen? They can still, but here's the problem with TikTok. And we talked a little bit about this with Mero, with Keith Lee. I can see in their eyes, they're dancing for the cameras.
Yep.
And
people lose their purity very quickly.
And you could almost identify. I wish maybe I'll try to pull, like, the video where I first saw it. And I think you saw it with Keith Lee. And even Keith Lee, you see now, is, like, back in Vegas reviewing Vegas restaurants just to feel. It's like
just to go back home to the
something.
Roots.
Yeah.
The food in this bag is from a place that wasn't directly recommended, but I've heard a lot about it. The food looks amazing, but they only got 48 followers here on TikTok. The foodie and me want to see is the food as good as it look, in my opinion. I got it. Let's try it. And rated 1 through 10. I spent $87.17.
You know, Keith Lee, like, went to the Bay Area and was like, y'all are not ready for what I do. There's too much economic depression here. He's going to Atlanta and, like, getting called out by people trying to pull up on him.
Got too big too fast.
But that's what TikTok, he did exactly what TikTok virality promises.
Right. The arc has been condensed to such a insane degree that it just loses some of the magic.
And you can tell, like, the minute it, I think I had read this, and if this proves to be factually incorrect, forgive me, but I had read that Pookie is looking fire tonight was not a thing that Jet had ever actually said.
He
had said
Pookie, like,
he had said fire. It was like an amalgam of a variety of Jet-isms.
Right.
Now Jet says it.
Right.
And it's like on command.
Their catchphrase.
Yeah. And it's like, I hate to see, I'm thrilled that they're getting attention. They do seem to genuinely love each other. And I admire the content, but it makes me feel
bad. Self-aware.
Yeah. That's it. Pookie and Jet.
Come on, Podcast Deluxe.
Come on, Podcast Deluxe. I'd love to talk to you about what this has been like.
This reminds me of someone like Emma Chamberlain.
It's so awkward.
Shut the f*** up. Don't look at me. You have to turn around.
And I do think it took years probably for her to reach that point. Like, she was so green as a vlogger.
Of course.
And so herself.
And also the medium that she was working in was still not totally tested.
And I think it took a really long time before you could feel that corporate thing behind her eyes.
Yes.
And
now it's just.
Sure. I mean, regardless, like, she's basically a real celebrity at this point.
Yeah. And also, who could resist?
Sure.
Who's that strong?
To
never do that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's impossible. We feel this. With a lot of the musicians
she'd be like on Discord Records first vlogger.
Yeah, like I'm sure, like, musicians too. It's like you can't recapture that thrill of when you don't quite know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But you feel that across all, like, even across TikToks where people don't necessarily feel like they're professionalizing. Because to me, from the outside, one of the one of the biggest things that TikTok is good at is putting a spotlight on people who don't seem they want to be famous.
Yes. And very suddenly.
Like super esoteric international mm-hmm. TikToks, for yes. instance, you mm-hmm. know, like old people or, mm-hmm. you know, people who don't seem like they're grasping for a career as an influencer.
You want to feel about 1,000 years old? I'm going to play right now a Charli D'Amelio doing the Renegade TikTok wow. at like an early MTV red carpet.
Wait. Haven't heard that name in years.
But like the D'Amelio family, you talk about like what was like a good time. Everything's good, everything's bad.
Sure.
But like the D'Amelio family, you know, they were like, we are going to do a version of the Kardashians. We're going to do it wholesome. We're going to have a Hulu show, which may or may not still be happening. I'm not sure. It was so dull. Really, really bad.
This was after their TikTok fame.
We're in the mix. Sure. In the midst of the TikTok fame. You know, Charli D'Amelio was someone who was thrust into the spotlight. And I think probably too fast for someone of that age and someone who frankly didn't appear to have that inclination. I mean, one of the things I remember writing about that show was like one of the arcs of her in the show was not like I'm going to bigger parties and better parties and da-da, which I'm sure was happening behind the scenes, but it was like, I miss my dancing.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get better at dance. Like I need to go
back.
That's
Keith Lee being like, I miss Vegas.
Yeah, it's the same thing. And I think the churn and burn, the volatility, the speed. I mean, I'll see TikTokers who used to get like 1 million views on a video, and for whatever reason, the algorithm stops favoring them, and they're like recording tear filled videos, like only getting 10,000 views, and I don't know what I am, and blah blah blah. Like it's volatile. So you've seen people built up and taken down. Obviously, everybody gets milkshake ducked constantly. And I just think on a fundamental level, in order for TikTok to mint a new generation of stars, whatever that might mean, it may never reach the Disney Channel level of 2020 or whatever, but there has to be a new visual idea that goes with the platform. And I don't think there is a new visual idea, and that's frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, how much of this is a broader issue with everybody's an influencer culture? Like, I think a lot of what you've said, especially in the last couple of minutes, apply across mm-hmm. social networks.
Yeah.
Like, why is TikTok suffering maybe more than the others when everybody's selling themselves all the time?
I do think, I never thought I would say this, but the salesmanship on Instagram feels comparatively tasteful.
Wow.
It's, you know, polished to perfection, obviously, you know, I remember reading pieces about the advent of different types of facial filters on Instagram and everybody having these ideated lifestyles and lifestyle porn and Instagram becoming a repository for our perfected dream lives.
And then the pendulum sort of swung.
And TikTok was like, no, actually people are extremely messy.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what's hard to corral is mess. It's hard to continually rely on mess, especially once you're now at probably the third or fourth wave of people who got famous off TikTok. So people see it as a viable path towards success. You see comedians trying out material. You see young actors and actresses playing, like doing role playing and like character work in hopes of getting attention and maybe an agent or maybe an audition. I think people are still feeling out like, what TikTok needs right now is a Lonely Girl 15. Like, it needs a narrative power.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen. There's
that like, never quite happened, right?
It happens in a couple different ways. One, a thing that's been going on the last couple days, and this will come out maybe a week after we're recording. So this may be old by then. But there's a woman
who
got scammed by her husband, and she did a 50-part TikTok series.
Here is part one of Who the F*** Did I Marry? So I met my ex-husband around March 4th of 2020.
Long form TikTok.
A YouTube. Should have just gone on
YouTube. I was going to say, like,
make a YouTube. It's fine. But she made 50 part. So there's that. That's like a narrative innovation.
And is it like, are there cliffhangers? Was she rolling them out? Like,
I would say it depended on, I mean, I certainly didn't watch all 50, but I think it depended on, they're all cliffhangers, but some were real and some were
not. But was she like here's part one, part two is coming tomorrow?
No, she
dropped them all at once.
I think she dropped them not all at once, but like pretty... It consecutively. Wasn't, it's not over 50 days. Okay. It's like over 3 days.
Like, because maybe she could have dragged that out, like, you know, like the Netflix dump model versus week to week airing.
The other thing that's happening is what, you know, the Susie Pesto type things, which are
talk to me about that.
Okay. So it's, they're prompts for saying, here's a traumatic thing that happened to me.
Oh, the girl talking about her breakdancing dad.
What's a piece of trauma that you have that's funny? It has to actually be funny. I'll go first. My dad abandoned my family when I was 5 years old and then pursued amateur breakdancing.
Different, similar, but different.
Okay.
Yes, different trend cycle, but yes. So that Susie Pesto was a few months ago where Susie was like, call me crazy. But I just don't like store-bought pesto, so I like make my own. And people just stitch it and be like, that's wacky, Susie, but let me tell you about another wacky thing and then tell like the most horrific story you've ever heard in your life.
Okay.
Call me crazy if you want, but I've never liked store-bought pesto.
Susie, that is unhinged. One time I was bartending and this man comes into the bar and he looks all like disheveled. He's all upset about something.
And this would happen. I mean, I would see 10 of these a day for weeks.
Sounds traumatic.
It really, it's a lot. It's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
To say nothing of the actual trauma that you're seeing. I mean, you're seeing images of war.
Right.
You're seeing like police brutality. Like you're seeing TikTok is, I've read people talk about this. It was like, the brain is not wired for this.
Yeah.
Like the human brain.
It might be now.
Or it's short circuiting.
Sure.
It's tough. But so those, when I see stories like that, like the pesto stories or the woman who's doing the 50 part TikTok, I'm saying, okay, we're inching towards narrative form. But what makes TikTok great is it's not overly produced. So like you want the least produced version of it to have that kind of like texture of authenticity. But at the same time, if the medium is ever going to evolve beyond where it is, there has to be some tonal consistency. You have to have hits. You have to have stars. You have to have hit series. Obviously, that's not what I necessarily love about TikTok, but if TikTok's going to grow, you do kind of need it. It's like what Snapchat was trying to do with like Snapchat Originals or whatever. It's like it didn't work, but it's an inch in that direction. I think TikTok needs to do a version of that.
But doesn't that undermine the idea?
Why I like it, yeah.
Well, and the idea that the For You page is the main sell of TikTok, meaning you're not following a specific person's profile because like to follow a narrative.
Well, here's the thing, but algorithmically it'll bring me back. Like okay. If I see video of a person saying I'm trying something or here's part one of my traumatic story, I'm coming back tomorrow. If I watch that video the whole way through, it'll show me the next video.
How much of the problem is that TikTok's got too long? Because then it, to me, it's just competing directly with YouTube, which it is.
It's what they're trying to do.
Everyone is, every social network is becoming right. Every YouTube other social
wants
network.
To have shorts, TikTok wants to have long. TikTok is asking some people to post horizontal videos,
reels, etc.
I'm of the mindset that TikToks can get a little longer, but I don't think they should be long. I don't think there should be 10 minute TikToks. I think 2 minutes. I would watch a 2 minute TikTok.
How often are you getting through a TikTok?
I mean, you're asking a deranged person this question.
Right.
Yeah. Like I will watch most of a 2 minute. I'll watch a long TikTok.
Okay. So yeah. you're not, how often are you skipping something at like the 2 second mark?
If I understand immediately what the modality is and I have nothing to learn from it, I'll skip it. Like I'm very much like, you know how I am. I'm scouring for information. I'm literally just like, how can I consume maximum volume of things. And so if I look at a video and I immediately understand the setup, I immediately understand the trend, I see that it's a dance move that I already know, whatever. I have missed stuff because on first glance, I thought I understood it. And then a day later, someone will be like, oh, did you see such and such? And I'll be like, no. And then I'll go back and I'm like, ah, the first second didn't give away what it was. I don't mind if they're long. I will watch them, but if the modality is familiar, I'll absolutely scroll through. Also, TikTok, I feel like, is playing with length, but maybe not in the ways that you're talking about. A lot of what I see and have seen really promoted in the last 6 months, I guess what I would call it is durational content.
Okay.
SB mowing, the lawn mowing guy.
I like those. Those
you know
are great.
Those? Yeah. So he like knocks on the door of a house that has an overgrown lawn, offers to do it for free.
Sure. advertising his business.
Yeah, basically. Advertising his business, but also it seems to legitimately take hours.
Yeah.
The rug cleaning accounts, someone very dear to me thinks that this is all that they've been made dirty in order to clean.
The rug cleaning, yeah. To me, I'm just like, you're doing too much. Like, you're doing too, you're, there's too many rounds of cleaning here.
Anyway, the rug cleaning folks, the hoof cleaners.
Okay.
You've seen those?
No.
Cleaning, like, I guess they're cow hooves, like that maybe have like rocks in them or whatever.
Right.
It's content that you're looking at and you're like, I've always wondered how blank works, or like, are they going to do it? That's durational content. I think TikTok has been leaning in that direction, which is maybe what makes it think it can do 10-minute videos, because a lot of times you'll watch and be like, damn, that rug does look dirty. I wonder if they're really going to get it. So there is that length. Also, I feel like, I mean, we haven't really talked about shopping or clean talk or any of that stuff too heavily, but like clean talk also functions in this. And then if you see ads for like the pink stuff or things like that, the Times, David Siegel wrote a piece about the pink stuff recently. You have a lot of products that are demonstration products.
Sure.
They're shop products.
Again, going back, this is like the infomercial idea.
I mean, also like oil, put you up on oil pulling.
Yeah. Nasty. I mean, this was like a Goop thing 10 years ago.
It's also like one of the biggest, like I've never thought about oil pulling before like 2 months ago.
Do you want to explain what oil pulling is in case people don't know?
You mix up a bunch of essential oils, swish it around your mouth. It's supposed to like kill bacteria and improve gum health.
Yeah. It's like snake oil mouthwash.
Yes. And the main one on TikTok has sold almost 1 million units. Not counting like dupes and like
allegedly.
Well, it's on the page. Oh,
it's on the counter.
It's on the account. Okay. It's on the counter. All right. Why do I know that?
why
do I know? Like genuinely.
It's unhealthy.
On a lot of levels.
Yeah.
It's unhealthy. So I don't know. I think the reason I wrote the piece is I was having trouble identifying how TikTok was going to get out of the rut. There isn't a clear star system. There isn't a clear narrative innovation. There isn't a clear design or visual innovation. Like there was that moment last year, and maybe you didn't see it, but like when people started doing like ADD TikToks where like someone would be talking in the top half and then there'd be like a video game speed run in the bottom half.
Okay.
As a way of acknowledging that like you're looking at multiple screens anyway, we might as well put them both on one. Yeah, them both on, which I thought was like funny and clever, but also like how long can you do that for?
Yeah.
A week, a month, 3 months? We should talk before we're done, we should talk about the business aspect.
Right.
UMG just pulled all the music.
Universal Music, the parent company of
and the publisher. The
biggest labels on the planet.
Was in a staring contest with TikTok about a contract renewal. And they pulled. And what's interesting is I think fundamentally TikTok was like, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think TikTok doesn't want to be a music-focused app.
Right. Which has been clear for a while,
yeah, I think. But I think that was their opportunity to say like, TikTok, I mean, UMG was saying, our music is more valuable to us, to you, than you are paying us.
The royalty rates.
Yes.
For like a Taylor Swift or a Drake song.
And TikTok was saying, actually, though, we don't need you.
We especially don't need you if it's just soundtracking the biggest artist, like the biggest artists as a soundtrack for videos that are unrelated to the songs themselves.
And that's the thing. I mean, I've talked about this before, but like when I first wrote about TikTok 3 or 4 years ago, I remember thinking like, I don't think there's going to be a lot of music on TikTok, but I don't know if it's good for music because it's always music in context of something else or music is a driving force. And in this piece, I was talking about music as hashtag. It's like you click on the sound,
right?
And it's like a clip of us talking, and then it's like someone pruning cactuses.
Yeah, when they're
someone
not
like doing lights,
when they're not in harmony,
yeah,
it's useless.
It only makes sense as dance, and a lot of these sort of trends, the stitch trends, there's not an easy way to kind of like organize them. I mean, they're hashtag to some degree. It's not an easy way to organize. So if you're seeking it out, you can go to the original Susie video and then like go and like see everything that's, but it's like, it's not, there's no central organizing principle. That to me is a victory in the sense that I like nonlinear content, but I'm also like, I'd like to find a way in and also a way out sometimes.
So you were saying you wanted to see if TikTok could find a way out of this. Like, is there hope? Like, are you still finding any joy or like, are you out and would you like, are you calling that TikTok is going to decline in popularity from being the dominant app of this era?
It's not clear what's coming up to take its place, but I think...
Well, we haven't talked about Twitch and like streamers
Talk about real durational content.
Going far in the other direction.
And also, frankly, Discord and like private communities and things.
Small, that are not, both bigger and smaller.
Yes, yeah, but
more
that are,
niche.
That are niche focused and allow people to converse with the people who are the most passionate about. You know, TikTok to me is a discovery app. Twitch is somewhat discovery, but it's somewhat fan aggregation.
Sure.
Discord is like pure fan aggregation. I don't know what's going to come in the discovery space that's going to supplant TikTok, but it's not clear if TikTok has a plan to be something other than what it currently is. Like, I have my TikTok safe spaces. Like, one of the things I wrote about at the end of the piece was like this account. It's I think it's in a Chinese industrial factory of some kind, and they have those like motorized threshers, and they just put things in them all day.
It's just tables, destroying metals,
chairs, plastics, metals, children's bikes. Really traumatic when it's children's bikes. It's like, oh, these poor kids.
Watching it get eaten by the jaws of death.
And the thing that it reminds me is like, everything is brittle. Everything can be broken. Like, nothing is guaranteed. There is no future. Truly, thrash me, daddy.
Yikes.
Yeah.
You have a soft spot for ASMR stuff overall, I think.
A little bit. I don't really like the kind of like... I don't really like that.
The quiet stuff.
Yeah, the quiet stuff I find like cloying, but I like, I mean, honestly, I watch those videos and they remind me of like techno songs.
Yeah.
You know, they remind me like when I've had an MRI and you're in the MRI.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, that's a beat. You're like, yeah, I'm like, that's techno. So like, I like it for that, but I also, I rarely feel as vulnerable as I do when I'm just like in the middle of an endless scroll with like no entry point and no exit point, and I don't know where I'm going. Every now and again, I'll feel really vulnerable. When I watch those Thresher videos, I'm like, that's me being fed into the absolute brutal jaws of death, coming out on the other side in tiny pieces.
All right, we can't end there.
We have songs, but Sawyer also had a question, and I think it ties into the types of songs that at least I've gravitated towards. Everything is it's like Jack Harlow, TikTok hit, just like
Gunna, TikTok,
hit. TikTok. And it's like, it used to be 3 years ago, like a novel thing. Like I could say, you could write a whole article on like
a song that got big off of TikTok and crossed over into the mainstream.
Yes. Plenty of people did. Yes. Some of y'all are still pitching those articles. Don't do that.
Yeah. Not anymore.
But you could do that even 3 years ago. I think now you can't do it anymore because TikTok is so woven into last week. We're talking about Benson Boone. It's just like this week it's Benson Boone. Next week it's Jensen June.
Sure.
It's just, you know, Noah Kahn.
Right.
You know what I mean? Maybe there's a point in which there's some pushback in the music business. And if the music business, if UMG says, the hell with y'all, we don't actually need it. Maybe the type of music that's going to come out of UMG is not going to be so snippet oriented.
Yeah. And so his question was like, is nature healing by TikTok no longer being the music discovery platform? Mm-hmm. Or even if it still is, it's like, if everything breaks on TikTok, then nothing breaks on TikTok.
That is correct.
And I think that's possibly true. I think the less that people are aiming to get big via a song on TikTok, like writing parts that lend themselves to TikToks or lyrics that lend themselves to motions or canned dances or whatever. I think it's true. I think there will be a pushback to that and people will stop trying to game TikTok, which might help save TikTok.
The only thing, one thing before we get to song is I was very, very sad. There was an account that popped up recently and I was loving it. It made me so happy. It was called Nostalgia Old TikTok.
Wow.
And it was just
what you were looking for.
It was
did you get served this because you wrote the TikTok essay?
I have no idea, but it's like, it was like all 2018, 2019, 2020 stuff. So good. So pure. So just like every video had no guile in it, not even an ounce of guile. And it got banned because I assume it was all reposted content.
Wow.
If you're from TikTok and you're watching...
Reinstate
Nostalgia Old TikTok.
Free them.
Free, seriously. Free all of us.
Yeah.
Respectfully.
So we do a song of the week every week, but for this episode, we thought we'd just do a song that's big on TikTok, but
that
in
we
a,
like,
or yeah,
that
in a nice way.
Yeah, of course.
So you have a vintage one.
I do have a vintage one.
And I have a recent one that's a vintage song.
Okay, so I referred to this artist earlier, and that is P.P. Cocaine.
Wow.
P.P. Cocaine, Three Musketeers, actually Next Youngin featuring P.P. Cocaine. You see those videos of like two like young children who used to be friends and then they don't see each other for a long time and they see each other.
Yeah.
And then they're like running to each other. Right. They're so excited. That's how I feel about this audio.
So, oh man.
Me and the P.P. Cocaine audio. We see each other at the end of the street. Be like, ah, big hug. This is a mad song. This is a wild, wild song. I don't know if P.P. Cocaine is still signed.
I was going to say, like, did that career, what's happening?
I don't know.
There?
I don't know if P.P. Cocaine is still signed. Yeah. She was off social for a while. I mean, everybody goes off social. That's the other thing. Is everybody goes off social.
Selena Gomez style.
But I saw maybe she did something recently, but I don't know if it was music. But this song, I don't know.
Was it ever music?
This is music. I swear it's music. Three Musketeers goes, where was this on my 2020 best songs list?
Too high.
Not high. And maybe you're right. This is my number two song of 2020. Number two song of 2020. P.P. Cocaine and Next Youngin. Maybe they switched it because I think it was Next Youngin featuring P.P. Cocaine that switched. Anyway, this is the important part of Three Musketeers.
Hey, tell a shorty come here. I'm trying to blow her back out. Walking funny for the year. Tell me that you want me, that's what I always hear. I got three bitches on me like the Three Musketeers. Hey,
hey. Hey, hey.
So the other thing that TikTok is known for music-wise is pulling out a random old song and making it really popular. We had this with Fleetwood Mac, Dreams, the big one, obviously Kate Bush, Running Up That Hill, which was both a Stranger Things thing and a TikTok thing, working in concert, old media and new. Well, that Netflix is old media now, but you know what I mean, television. And sometimes it'll just be completely random. Recently, Gucci Mane's Point in My Life, which is like an album track, a deep cut from a 10-year-old Gucci Mane mixtape. Randomly, Trap House 3 song became the basis for a lot of TikToks.
Yeah.
Don't know why, don't know how, doesn't really make any sense. But like, if people are listening to Point in My Life by Gucci,
it's a win.
Like, let's just do it. So, produced by Done Deal, 10 years old, were we ever so young.
Baby girl, let's get acquainted. My name Gucci Mane, baby, tell me what you drinking. That boy is a lame, he don't got no super game. My name Gucci Mane, and baby girl, that's just a name. Tell me who you came with and the reason that you came. You don't need to be a girl.
We've had these for a while. These are Calbee shrimp chips.
Big caveat.
The original shrimp chip, 50-year anniversary bag. These are from...
Oh, I didn't realize it was an anniversary.
Yeah. Shout out to Kimmy.
Shout out to Kimmy.
Kimmy helps us on the graphic design side.
Yeah.
And she delivered a care package.
And this is... We did something from the Kimmy pack in an earlier episode.
Yeah.
This is... We've been sitting on this.
But these are some classics.
Yeah.
A lot of different varieties of shrimp chip out there, but I think this is...
Been eating shrimp chips since the 80s.
This might be the gold standard.
Is this like a known?
I think okay. this is a popular shrimp chip. So let's
take a whiff.
Dig in. I mean,
do they smell stale?
They smell like shrimp chips.
Okay, that's fine.
All right.
Yeah, I mean they smell like shrimp chips. Yeah, they're not stale.
No, they're perfect. They're actually taste quite fresh. They keep well. We'll say that for them. These are good. Subtle flavor.
You're really getting the ocean in these.
Yeah, but not too fishy.
No, it's a little fishy.
Yeah, but I mean, it's got shrimp in the title. I like these. I could do with a little more flavor.
Wild caught sea shrimp.
Yeah. These are good though. I like these.
Expired in September. Still good.
Solid. Solid 7 out of 10 for me. Seven. Yeah. These are like a pure 7.
I don't love the way they go to dust so fast, but like generally speaking, solid, would have again.
Very eatable. You could eat a lot of them without feeling too gross.
Just like a touch too oceanic.
For me. I mean, the aftertaste is
specific.
Seafood.
It's specific. That's our show. Every podcast ever is at nytimes.com/podcast, youtube.com/podcast. It's me and Joe and the chairs and the shrimp chips. Like and subscribe. TikTok is a podcast deluxe. Instagram is a podcast deluxe. T-shirts are at itsthepodcast.myshopify.com. All the ephemera is on Zazzle. Go ahead and type in podcast. See what you find. Do something weird with it. Send us a picture. We'll use it.
Buy the skateboard.
Buy the skateboard. Buy the doggy bowl. We're going to get a dog bowl from Mikey. Yeah. Okay, great. tinyurl.com/podcast Facebook or podcast Discord. That's where you can connect with other people who are watching this and talking about snacks. Email us at podcast@nytimes.com. We got nominated for a bunch of awards recently.
A bunch?
At least one.
Enough.
So thank you for everybody who voted for those. Our senior producer is Sawyer Roquet. Our editor is Jamie Heffitz. Thank you to Karen Gans, Nell Galogli, Pedro Rosado, Pat Gunther, and Leslie Davis. We will see you next week.